Live from the Next Title Studio, this is News Talk 670 KBOI. If you're talking about it,
they're getting nervous, and they should be nervous.
You know, I kind of disagree with what you're saying.
We're talking about it.
You know, I think it's kind of great that you guys have that duality.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 670 KBOI.
Paul J. off today, 8:39. Welcome to the show. David Allen, Chris Walton, Todd with 1D, pushing all the buttons. It's a Monday show. I wanted to talk for a minute. I don't know if you saw this story over the weekend. This happened in Chicago. And social media is both good and evil.
Well, yeah, we knew that.
And everybody knows that. And
it's a tool.
It is. And a lot of people who are on it are also tools.
Are also tools, yeah. So that, it happens.
14-year-old boy is charged in the sexual assault of a Chicago teenager that was streamed live on Facebook. Scheduled to appear in juvenile court today. Teen's hearing is set for this morning. The boy was arrested over the weekend by Chicago police on felony charges of aggravated criminal sexual assault, manufacturing of child pornography, and dissemination of child pornography.
Well, that's because, yeah, if you film somebody under the age of 18 doing something that, anything sexual, I mean, yeah, they've got you for child porn.
Yeah. An arrest warrant has been issued. That's why if you have a teenager who sends naked pictures of themselves, technically they're disseminating pornography and can be arrested for such.
Even if it's to other teenagers.
Even if it's to other teenagers who are their boyfriend or girlfriend. An arrest warrant has been issued for a 15-year-old boy, and police say they expect other juveniles and one adult to be charged. Here's the really disgusting part of this.
Okay.
That's more disgusting than everything I just told you.
Yeah.
Police say the 15-year-old girl was lured by one of the suspects into a residence in the North Lawndale neighborhood on Chicago's west side and sexually assaulted by at least three or four people.
Really?
Police say the assault was watched by about 40 Facebook viewers and that none of them, not a one, called police.
Do you think they thought it was a hoax? Or do you think they just didn't care that somebody was being raped right in front of them?
There's a part of me that would hope it was a hoax, they thought it was a hoax. But here's, and I understand that I'm not 15, I'm 55.
Right.
Even if I was watching that and I thought it was a hoax, I'm still calling the cops because her screams don't sound like a hoax.
There we go.
And I would rather the police show up to a hoax.
You'd rather be safe than sorry.
Yeah, I would rather the police show up to a hoax than nobody show up at all or call the police one. And I don't know how. I don't know what you can charge. You probably can't charge any of the 40 people with anything.
And which day did it happen?
Chicago. Last week. I'm sorry. It was before April 1st.
So it wasn't April Fool's Day.
Yes, no, it was not April Fool's Day. It happened last week. I just don't know how, as a human being, you can sit and watch something that... Because I've seen, with everybody's face pixelated, it's hard to tell, but I've seen some of the video... And whether it's a hoax or not, it looks incredibly violent.
It looks extremely real.
And extremely real, like a sexual assault.
Yeah.
I don't know how, as a human being, you can sit and watch.
It's weird that out of 40 people, nobody responded.
There's not one person who thought, hey, I know her, or hey, that could be my sister, or hey, that could be my girlfriend, or whatever.
Or hey, this just doesn't look right.
Or hey, this doesn't look right, and you don't call the police. And it would frustrate me to death to think that as a society... We've come to the place where we're all just so numb to everything.
Well, and I guess nobody even complained to Facebook.
No.
Which you can easily do.
Yes.
If somebody's got something that you consider obscene on Facebook, you tell Facebook and it goes away fairly quickly.
And it goes
away
quickly, yes.
I mean, assuming it actually is obscene. You know, you're not messing with them.
So nobody even alerted Facebook on that, because I would think Facebook would then have called the Chicago police.
Mm-hmm.
And I would hate to think that we're all so numb to everything because of the... inundation of horrible stories day in and day out, whether it be online or through social media.
And again, I just wonder about these 40 people. Did some of them know what was going to happen and they just watched because they enjoy that sort of thing? Or were there simply people that were taken by surprise but thought, oh, that's got to be a joke, and then went to something else?
You know what? From what I understand, the sexual assault took a while to happen. And I think these 40 people watched the whole thing. They didn't just go, oh, I don't want to watch that. I'm going to go look at something else on Facebook. They were right there watching the whole stinking thing.
Yeah.
And And I know it's Chicago, and so, you know, they had 7 million murders last year. I know I'm exaggerating, but you get my point, because they had a lot.
Well, let's put it this way. They had more than most cities.
Yeah, they had more than they had ever had in the history of Chicago.
That too, yeah.
And I know that a couple of weeks ago when I was talking about something when you were on vacation and I was very passionate about things and I was talking about the British thing, the British terrorism and the fact that four people died and a guy called in and said, hey, why are you getting so upset? It's just four people in London. So we should just go, hey, this is just a 15-year-old girl in Chicago. What does it matter? It doesn't matter. Except that it says more about our society, doesn't it, than just a 15-year-old girl in Chicago. And the fact that a 14-year-old boy has already been arrested, and they're going to arrest a 15-year-old and an adult.
Okay, on the one hand, I agree that it does say something about society. On the other hand, there have always been people who were lawbreakers and people who treated other people, you know, very poorly. And that's been throughout history.
Sure.
So I don't necessarily think it's all just it's all society's fault. And a lot of that I base on the fact that I have known people who grew up in horrible conditions and yet never broke the law for any reason.
Understandable. And I'm talking a little bit about the crime itself.
Uh-huh.
I'm actually maybe talking more about the 40 people who watched the crime happening and did nothing about it.
I don't know. I've got to think that they must have thought they were watching, you know, something that was just staged to be funny or it was supposed to be a joke or something. I don't know.
How can a sexual assault ever be funny or a joke? And I'm not asking you. It's a rhetorical question because
I'm not
one of the 40 and you
didn't
see it.
I'm not Facebook friends with these people. I'm just trying to decide how – I'm trying to understand how they could see it and then not do anything.
And this comes back to Chicago. Wasn't it late last year, early this year, when the four or five people were abusing the homeless guy on Facebook Live? And everybody just kind of watched that happen, too.
Also Chicago.
They were torturing him. I just want better for society. And I know people think I get over the top sometimes. Yeah. And so I'm not going to. But
well,
I just want better.
It doesn't seem over the top to, you know, to point out that these things are bad. But I don't know necessarily that it's it condemns society at all. It's just kind of it's somebody doing something they're not supposed to do.
But I just know people who call and say, well, it didn't happen in Boise, so it doesn't matter.
Well,
but it does. In a greater sense of things, it does matter.
Well, you know, like they say, charity begins at home and clean up your own backyard first. All those things are good ideas. You know, if you want to think globally, that's great. But if everybody in the whole world did that and thought locally, globally, everything would be fine.
Yeah.
A warning from the National Weather Service, and it has to do with flooding along the Boise River. Details straight ahead on 670 KBOI.
Remember, you are listening to Idaho Talks Live on 670 KBOI.
8:51 now at 670 KBOI. David and Chris with you. I have this last story. Top of the hour, we're going to start talking about the Judiciary Committee and Gorsuch and Supreme Court pick, because there's some stuff going on there behind the scenes.
Indeed, there is.
This story came out over the weekend also. A Washington State homeowner was arrested on murder charges Saturday after he fatally shot a man who he found taking a shower in his home.
Okay, so he didn't know the guy.
Didn't know the guy at all.
He came home.
Yep.
I'm assuming the guy came home, went into his house, and there was somebody he didn't know taking a shower.
Yep.
And what did he do?
Well, the homeowner shot Nathaniel Joseph Rosa 31 multiple times after he said he noticed signs of forced entry in his home.
Okay. So he basically shot a burglar in his house.
Yes.
Who just happened to be naked and in the shower.
Yes.
All right.
He was arrested. The homeowner was arrested on second-degree murder charges. The sheriff announced the arrest via Twitter and said it would release more information in a press release today.
But they're going to charge him with murder even though he shot a guy who broke into his house.
The sheriff says there's more to the story that cannot be released yet.
Like maybe they were cousins.
Maybe. The homeowner said he arrived at the home, one of at least two that he owns in the Belfair, Washington area, at around 8 a.m. and noticed that a door had been kicked in. The homeowner went inside and exchanged words with him, with Rosa, who was in the shower at the time.
I can guess what he said.
Yeah. Get out of the shower.
What are you doing in my shower?
The homeowner left the premises without calling the police and returned with a firearm. He returned home, retrieved a firearm, came back to the residence and fired multiple times into the shower, killing the intruder. So he's in the house, sees the guy taking a shower, leaves, goes to his other house, gets his gun, comes back, doesn't call the cops, and shoots the guy.
Oh, he never called the police?
No. The homeowner then called 911 and said that he had shot and killed an intruder. Not clear how long the victim had been inside.
When he got back, was the guy still in the shower?
Well, he was still in the house. Yeah, he was still in the shower because he fired through the shower. And fired multiple rounds into the shower.
They had words.
Yep.
He left, went to his other house, got his gun, came back, and the guy was still in his house.
Yes.
See, on the one hand, I want to say, okay, yeah, he probably should have called the police. On the other hand, a guy broke into his house and he shot him. And I still kind of blame that on the guy who broke in.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see what else comes out from the sheriff's department on this. Because, you know, the sheriff's office is saying there's more to the story.
Yeah.
And I don't know what, like you say, maybe they knew each other. Maybe they had dealt drugs. I don't know. I don't know what else is going on. But on the face of it.
Well, let's put it this way. You come home and let's say that nobody's in the shower, but you come home, you know, open your door and somebody's sitting in your living room, just sitting there waiting for you. And they're sitting there watching TV or whatever. But they, you know, they just act like it's their place.
Yeah.
What do you do?
And I will tell you.
And I'm thinking you probably should call the police. But on the other hand, I don't know that you shouldn't defend yourself as well.
Yeah. And I will tell you that the guy who was taking the shower, if the homeowner came home and I'm the guy in the shower. And he starts yelling at me, saying, hey, get out of the... And I'm like, no, I'm taking a shower. I don't have time.
You leave the house so as not to be shot?
Yeah. When the guy leaves the house, I'm like, I should probably go.
That would have been sensible, but
then
again...
I'm not even going to take time to dry off.
Considering he had broken into somebody's house and was taking a shower, sensible probably wasn't this guy's M.O.
That's a very good point. I just don't... Strange stories over the weekend. A lot of weird, strange stories over the weekend.
Definitely.
And I don't understand... the outcome of many. But again, there should be more from the Washington Sheriff's Department today about this incident. And like I say, maybe there's something that I'm going to go, well, that makes sense.
Yeah, if there is an important fact we have not yet been told, like, you know, the guy knew him full well and it was somebody that owed him money or something like
or
that.
Or somebody who had cheated on his wife or something.
Yeah.
But if
now,
it's
and
just
the,
because
and the thing
he...
is, again, I don't mind him coming back to his house to defend it with a gun. What I mind is that he didn't actually call the police, too.
Yeah. And here's the thing.
If the police can show up with a gun, that's probably a little better than you know, because now he's in trouble.
And I don't know if the whole thing is just going to be that he didn't call police and that's why they arrested him.
Well,
they said,
no,
you should have called police because then you wouldn't have murdered the guy. I don't know if that's going to be the only drawback.
Well, possibly.
It seems like a strange story to me.
Yeah.
And I don't... It's a random strange story.
But see, acting like the guy, he wasn't in jeopardy or he wasn't fearing for his life. No, I'm thinking if somebody breaks into your house, no matter what they're doing inside your house, I think you've got a right to defend the house and yourself and your stuff.
And I'm not sure on the Castle Doctrine or the Stand Your Ground law, because police might actually say, well, you got out of the house safely, so you were no longer in danger.
No.
Then you went back in the house.
But my house still was in danger.
Yeah. That's when you call the police.
Right.
That's what they might be saying. That's why they're arresting, because you were safe.
Plus, this guy was, you know, he's running up my water bill.
Plus, there's going to be a ring around the tub.
Yeah, more than likely.
Now there really is, because there's blood all over the place. Can't get that out with just Ajax.
I'm not going to ask you how you know that.
You don't want to know. National news comes up top of the hour. I don't really know that, everybody. I'm kidding. Rick Worthington has a local angle. Then we'll be back with more 906 and 670 KBOI.
If you're talking about it,
they're getting nervous, and they should be nervous.
You know, I kind of disagree with what you're saying.
We're talking about it.
You know, I think it's kind of great that you guys have that duality.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 670 KBOI.
Paul J. off today, David Allen in for him, Chris Walton here. Welcome back to the show. You have breaking news, Chris. Or you have some news.
Well, yeah.
Okay. I say it's breaking because we haven't talked about it yet, so.
Okay, well, and it's going on today.
Yes.
A Senate panel is opening what's going to be a week-long partisan showdown over the president's latest Supreme Court nominee, his only one so far, with Democrats steadily amassing the votes to block Neil Gorsuch and force Republicans to unilaterally change longstanding rules to confirm him. Now, that's an interesting thing about being the majority party in one of the houses. Quite often there are rules that you can simply vote to change and then do something else that you wanted to do that you were unable to do.
Yes.
And this is not strictly a Republican thing. When the Democrats have been in the majority, they've done the same thing a time or two. The Republican-led Judiciary Committee meets today and is expected to back Gorsuch and send his nomination to the full Senate, most likely on a near party line vote, intent on getting Trump's pick on the high court. Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is likely to change Senate rules so that Gorsuch can be confirmed with a simple majority in the 100-seat chamber instead of the 60-voter threshold. Here's what's going on, though. McConnell and every Republican who has been on TV the last 2 days has simply said that this man is very qualified. You know, he's been a judge for a long time, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, he is to the right of center, obviously. And he's going to assuming he gets he passes the Senate, he will end up replacing a guy who was extremely right of center as well.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. So it's not going to probably throw off the court much. However, there are plenty of Democrats right now in the Senate who simply are not going to vote for this man because
their candidate.
The guy that was previously nominated by the president of the United States at the time, Barack Obama, never came up for review.
Mm-hmm.
They never even gave him a shot.
No.
And, you know, that everybody talks about, well, you know, the Biden rule is that, you know, the Biden rule isn't a rule. It was a suggestion. And people mention it when it is in their favor. But it's one of those that they'll tell you when it's not in their favor, they'll tell you straight out it's not actually a rule.
Exactly.
And the Biden rule is that when it's close to an election, you don't choose a new Supreme Court nominee. You let the new president do it.
Yes.
However, at the time that Biden said that, I think George H.W. Bush was finishing up his term and Bill Clinton was about to start.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Biden thought that was great. Let Bill Clinton choose somebody who's a liberal.
Yes.
They probably would have taken it back during the time George W. Bush was in the presidency.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would have wanted to use it again while Obama was there. And now they're taking it back when Trump is there.
So then let's look at a broad question here.
In other words, any rule we change, it's going to be fine as long as it still continues to benefit us.
Yeah. So whether we argue whoever the Democrats put up or Gorsuch, let's not argue that because, again, both guys, as far as I know, they both seem like they're pretty qualified to be Supreme Court judges. So I'm not an expert on Supreme Court, so I can't.
Politically, and you have to decide this simply by looking at the way they decide cases. And quite often that can be
misleading.
However, Gorsuch, most of the time, if somebody is suing a company, it comes before him. He tends to rule for the company.
But he could always change when he got to the Supreme Court.
Plus, he could also be right about that.
Because Souter was seen as a conservative. And if anything, he's been more moderate, if not an inch on the left-hand side of things since he's been on the Supreme Court. So he's completely changed the makeup.
And I guess technically, what they like to do is they like to feel like they have a consensus on a Supreme Court nominee.
Yes. Yes.
And it's not exactly a consensus, but they say, okay, if he gets at least 60% of the vote, then we feel like it's somebody that, appeal to a bipartisan crowd.
Exactly. Yeah,
to both the Democrats and the Republicans. However, if you simply, you know, go straight, the Republicans vote and they get 52 votes and the Democrats, get 48 no's, then there are some people are going to say, well, then he shouldn't be on the Supreme Court because apparently he only favors the Republicans or is only enjoyed by the Republicans, whatever. But there are a lot of the Democrats who are not voting based on Gorsuch's record. They're simply going to vote no because the previous guy never got even so much as a hearing.
And I think I've told you this, or maybe I told Paul Jay when I filled in for you. I don't really care whether a nominee is a Republican or a Democrat. I don't really care how
And technically, they're not really supposed to be either.
And that wasn't going to be my point. Thank you.
It's a nonpartisan.
Here's what I want to know.
Appointment.
Are you going to follow the Constitution?
Yeah.
That's what I care about.
Mm-hmm.
And not interpret it that you'll actually just go how the framer saw it, and rather than saying, well, it could be seen as this, or it might be manipulated as that.
Now, and it depends on what you think the job of a judge is to do. And there are plenty of people, and a lot of them call this program, they believe that the job of a judge is to read the Constitution, read the law, know it, and then, you know, in court, if they argue, well, this guy did this, but it wasn't really bad, the judge says, no, you broke a law, so here's what you get. And it should be fairly cut and dry most of the time. However, most things aren't.
I'm a big believer, though, in the Constitution. Then my second point, and we'll take your calls, too, 336-3700, 1-800-529-5264, or #670 on the Verizon Wireless. My second point is, and I don't care if it's Republicans or Democrats, I think it's ridiculous that you can just manipulate Senate rules to fit what you want to have happen.
Well, and that's the weird part of it. I mean, there are a lot of things that you can change a rule simply on a 51-49 vote.
That's ridiculous.
And the majority party would always be able to do exactly what they want. And you're right. I do find that a little ridiculous.
If the rule says you have to have 60 votes to be on the Supreme Court, 60 votes. And if Gorsuch only gets 52, then you know what? Sorry, dude, you're not on the Supreme Court. I don't know what to tell you. Nominate somebody else.
However, like I said, technically the rule doesn't have anything about 60, but they can, the Democrats can filibuster.
Yes.
And then completely kill the vote unless the Republicans change the rule that says the Democrats can't filibuster.
Which is completely
asinine. Which they can do and may do in the next couple of days.
Oh, it's frustrating as heck. 336-3700, 1-800-529-5264, or #670 on your Verizon Wireless. We will talk to you next. It's 914 at 670 KBOI.
You're listening to Idaho Talks Live with Paul Jay and Chris. Rush Limbaugh comes up at 10 on 670 KBOI.
919 now. KBOI rewards code nominee. N-O-M-I-N-E-E. Did you hit your elbow? Nominee. It's terrible. I apologize
God,
for that.
That sounds like something I would say.
I stole that from you during the break, and I made it my own by making it awful and saying it live on the air. Go to KBOI.com, enter the keyword nominee, and you will get your 5,000 rewards points today.
Got some instant messages here. Mike R. of Boise says, guys, here are real facts regarding the Biden rule. Biden's Senate floor speech was on June 25th, 1992, more than 3 months later in the election cycle than when President Obama nominated Merrick Garland. There was no Supreme Court vacancy to fill. There was no nominee to consider. The Senate never took a vote to adopt a rule to delay consideration of a nominee until after the election. In summary, it was never even a rule until Senator McConnell named it as such. And there was not a nominee or even a vacancy at hand. I can see why the Democrats are a bit bent out of shape.
I don't blame them either. Let's go to the phones. Dave in Boise, you're on 670 KBOI with David and Chris. How are you, sir?
Hi, fine.
What do you got for us?
Well, I would say what you said earlier is a little bit misleading. It does not take 60 votes to get on the Supreme Court.
No, well, Chris corrected me on that after I said it.
You're right, it doesn't. It's not technically a rule. They just prefer it when somebody gets at least 60% of the vote.
There are two justices on the court right now that did not get 60 votes.
That's true.
The 60 votes is for closure, to end the debate, to actually vote. So what they're talking about is changing the rules on closure that would stop the filibuster. It doesn't take 60 votes to get on the court. It just takes a simple majority.
Well, doesn't that still frustrate you that they would change the rules to change
the... Well, they changed the rules last administration for everything but the Supreme Court.
I'm not beating up the Republicans or Donald Trump. I'm talking about any group that changes the rules, whether they be Republican or Democrat.
Well, I don't agree with the rule that blocks a vote. I think the Republicans were wrong in not considering Garland.
Yes.
They should have brought him before the committee, had hearings, and had a straight up and down vote.
Well, and Garland especially was a person whom a lot of Republicans had said, yeah, I would probably vote for him because he seems like a reasonable guy.
Yeah. Now, you also said that you're really a strong believer in the Constitution, and you made the statement that you thought both of these guys were really fully qualified. Go read the Constitution and tell me what the qualifications are to be a Supreme Court justice.
Okay.
I will do that. Thanks,
there
Dave. I'm all right.
I didn't say that I thought he was qualified. What I said is that every Republican that I saw on TV the last two or three days has said there's absolutely no reason to vote against Gorsuch because he's just eminently qualified, having been a judge for a long time and a good one. And apparently 97% of his cases have gone straight through and never even been challenged, or at least not reversed. Only, I guess he's only had one thing reversed. However, it's like I said, they're not worried about who's most qualified or who would be the best judge. They do not think it's the least bit fair that someone was nominated and then they never got a chance.
Yeah, and I agree with that. I think the Republicans made a mistake. They should have, since they had a majority, they should have had a straight up or down vote. And if they're voting down, they're voting down.
Yeah. That's a good point.
All right, Dave. Thanks for calling in. We appreciate it.
He's correct. You could always vote no.
Yeah. The Constitution does not specify qualifications for justices such as age,
education,
profession,
and like Mitch McConnell was on a couple of shows yesterday.
Born citizenship.
And whenever you say something that seems like a, you know, I'm not a huge Mitch McConnell fan, to tell you the truth. However, when you say something, I'll say this, when you say something to Mitch McConnell that seems to be a good question, In other words, you're asking, like, why would the Senate do this weird thing?
Mm-hmm.
Or why would you guys do this weird thing when it would be so simple to do this? McConnell just starts to laugh, like he's trying to explain things to people who aren't smart enough to understand what they're doing. No, and I think people do understand what they're doing. Mm-hmm. The trouble with Congress the last 20 to 30 years, I think, has been that they look at everything in terms of one party or another in winning or losing. If the Democrats bring up something that they want, you know, to pass, the Republicans have to vote no on it because they can't let the Democrats win. And the same goes for the other side. When
Sure.
the Republicans bring up something, the Democrats vote no simply so the Republicans won't win. And you don't find very many bipartisan bills, and you don't find a lot of cooperation either.
That's true. Dan in Boise, you got 2 minutes. You're on 670 KBOI. How are you?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Hey, I was just thinking about this. You know, this is exactly what pure politics looks like. When the Republicans had an opportunity to vote on or at least consider the Democratic nominee back before Obama was ousted, I think, in my opinion, they should have at least started the process so it wasn't such a definite, you know, just block wall.
Yeah, so it wasn't just straight defiance.
It just wasn't straight defiance. And so this would have at least given the Republicans more ammunition now to go, look, guys, let's not play politics. We at least started the process here with your nominee.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we at least put him in consideration. But instead, they just put up the block wall and said, we're not even going to consider it.
Yeah, it seems like it would have been
a mistake.
It would have been a better plan probably to simply let him go through the process. And if you're going to vote no, vote no.
Yeah, vote no. And at least they would have said, hey, we gave him a shot. He just wasn't the man for the job. And then go ahead and let the new nominee when Trump.
Well, and it's not like they can't use the excuse we thought he was too liberal. They can certainly say that.
Well, yeah, they can. So you know, you're looking at pure politics here. Looking at the Democrats are ticked off because they didn't get their guy didn't get a shot. I completely understand it. I don't mm-hmm. like it, but it is what it is. So. Again, you know, they're playing pure politics here with the future of this country.
Yeah.
All right, Dan, thanks for checking in. We appreciate it. And any instant messages?
Yes.
All right.
Let me go to some here.
Got about a minute here before the break is all.
All right.
Roger and Kuna, we'll get you after the news. I don't want you to think we're not going to get to you, but I only got a minute, and I don't want to short shrift you. So.
David of Boise says, did our founding fathers really write such a confusing, convoluted way of running our government? I think we should get rid of all the loopholes, all the crooked and unfair way of doing things, and focus on the original way things were intended to be. How can we run things if no one understands how anything is supposed to work? I know
that sounds like that's from me because that's what I say, but I'm not that David in Boise.
I had a friend who was, we need to get to a break, but I'll tell you really quickly. I had a friend who was German, and he used to say that. He'd say, I like the American laws, except that so many of them are open to interpretation.
Yeah.
He says they don't say like, okay, you can't do this, and that's all there is to that.
Seems simple.
They say, in most cases, you can't do this. Well,
in some cases, you can. No, that's not really it. All right. Again, we'll get to Roger and Kuna after the news. That comes up next with Rick Worthington on 670 KBOI.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 1, listen to Savage on 670 KBOI.
Welcome back to the show, 937. David Allen, Chris Walton here. Let's go out to Cuna, as promised. Roger, you're on 670 KBOI. How are you, sir?
Good. Hey, guys. I was just saying, you know, people had mentioned about the Republicans holding back on Garland. Well, that was in response to the end of Bush's terms when he was a lame duck president, and Biden and Barack Obama both said, well, a lame duck president shouldn't be appointing anyone to the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the reason why the, from my understanding, that the Democrat Republicans did that. And as far as the one with the nuclear option, Harry Reid broke that rule.
You're right.
And that's why they stuffed the federal courts with lots of Democratic appointees.
And it's funny in politics how this works. You can criticize what the other party is doing, and then a year later you can do the same thing and say the reason you're doing it is because, hey, they did it last year.
Exactly. Well, and the problem is the Republicans, they're like the Washington Generals in a Harlem Globetrotter game. They get paid at the end of the game, but they're not in it to win it. And so, they, you know, that as long as they keep their cushy job, that's why we need term limits. But yeah. The other problem with this is they're not saying, okay, well, this is why we're doing it, or the media is not reporting it. And again, you've got to have a free, unbiased media. I think we've got about an 85-15 split on the media, maybe even a 90-10.
You know what this is neither here nor there, but you're talking about an unbiased media. I haven't really been able to find a completely unbiased TV, let's say a TV station or TV network out there. But what we started doing at home is we watch about an hour of Fox News, and then we watch an hour of MSNBC, and then another hour of Fox, and another hour of NBC. And basically, we've gotten every angle you can possibly get on any story.
Exactly. And the problem, though, is the volume. Most people don't take the time to do that.
No.
And so if 90%, if you're just randomly doing it, 90% of your news is leftist. And then, that leads into how do these countries fail, like Venezuela, or you go back to Russia and Germany under Hitler and Stalin.
Yeah.
Venezuela is a basket case under socialism.
Mm-hmm.
And where was the media? Well, good question.
Yeah. All right, Roger. Thanks for checking in today. We appreciate it.
I was thinking, two winters ago, Wilson Ramos used to be a catcher for the
Washington Nationals.
And I think he's on Washington Nationals. And I think he's on the Tampa Bay
Rays.
Yep,
I saw him
now.
Yesterday. Yes.
Yeah. I guess it was either two or three summers ago, or not summers, winters. He went down. Yeah, he went down to his home. He's from Venezuela,
mm-hmm.
and he went down to his home in Venezuela, and he was kidnapped for a while.
Mm-hmm.
They ended up getting him back, and then he, came back unscathed and hadn't been hurt. But how weird is that?
I can't even imagine.
Like I can't imagine like a guy going home to Ohio for the winter
exactly.
and getting kidnapped.
Getting kidnapped. That would be
Although
weird.
Although I'm sure it could happen.
Probably, yeah.
Jim of Boise says, I am confused. First, I hear there must be a 60 votes for Senate confirmation of a Supreme Court justice. Then I hear that it is not an actual rule. Our government is broken and not fixable. It may be broken, but I think everything's fixable.
And it's not technically a rule, as Chris was saying. They prefer it to be 60. That way
again,
it makes it seem like 60% of the people. But it's not actually a rule.
And again,
all you have to do is get more yes votes than no votes.
If you don't like what's going on in the government, I think the attitude that it's broken makes sense. However, if you think it's broken simply because mostly what they do is argue, that's part of the process. They're supposed to argue.
And you're
not supposed to have just, one point of view that's taking care of everything, because that's what basically communist countries do.
Yeah. And the thing I do hate that Roger was saying, that the Democrats do it and then the Republicans do it. I'm always a big believer in, shouldn't whatever party you're in be better than the other party?
Because
Democrats do
again,
it, you should say, we're not going to do it because we're going to be better.
There again, the last several days, I've heard newscasters ask the question, but I've not heard a single member of Congress say two wrongs don't make a right.
Yeah. I hate that mentality. I hate it. Rich in Boise, you're on 670 KBOI. How are you, sir?
Excuse me. Good morning. Well, Roger said that he understood that the reason that Barack Obama and Joe Biden blocked a judge, that didn't happen. There was no judge up. That Biden rule.
Yeah, and Obama wasn't even a player yet. That was clear back in 1992.
Yeah, they didn't block one. But the filibuster rule is a rule. That's where you need 60 votes, 60 people before you can bring something up to vote.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That is a rule. Once
yes.
it's brought up to vote, then you only need 51 or 52. But, David, you were saying you want judges to follow the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
Every decision made is made on someone's interpretation of the Constitution. For instance, the gay marriage thing. The Constitution says everyone gets a due process under the law. You know, you can't pass a law that says Asians can't drive. You don't have to let people drive, but you can't discriminate against an entire group.
Yeah, not for that reason anyway. So
everything's an interpretation. Everybody is what people want. They want the judges to interpret the Constitution like they think it should be interpreted.
Right.
I
just want it interpreted like the founders wrote it.
Well, the founders didn't want blacks or women to vote. So, you know, you can't.
Well, I obviously don't want them to discriminate
sense. It was a long debate. A lot of the founding fathers only thought that people who owned a lot of property would be responsible enough to vote.
The founding fathers, there's very few definite things in the Constitution. I mean, if the National Guard came and wanted to put a couple of troops in your house and let their horses graze on your lawn, that's pretty much covered in the Constitution.
Yeah.
But any variation of that really isn't. So it is all up to interpretation of the judges, and we want to pick judges who interpret it how we want.
Yeah.
They do tend to get a little bit more moderate once they're in that position. And they,
agreed.
And they judges do change. I mean, for hundreds of years, they interpreted the Constitution meaning that gays couldn't get married. And then now, as public opinion changed, they interpreted the Constitution and said, well, that's a due process. You can't deny one group a right and that you give to some other group. You know, you can't say, well, women can't vote, or you can't say blacks can't vote, because it's just sort of an arbitrary thing. So it does change that.
What people consider.
Thanks for the call, Rich. We appreciate it.
And again, what people considered basic human rights in the 1700s is quite a bit different than it is now.
Obviously, there are going to be some things, you know, in 2017 that don't apply, that didn't apply in the 1700s.
In the 1700s, I mean, you know, you think, well, everybody had basic human rights. Well, they didn't, because we did have slavery.
Yeah.
Women couldn't vote. Women couldn't buy property, all sorts of things like that. So we had basic white man rights, but not basic human rights.
336-3700, 1-800-529-5264, #670 on your Verizon Wireless. I want it to be noted, 945, Rich and I didn't argue. It's a pretty good deal. 945 now at 670 KBOI.
Senator Jim Risch sounds off on President Trump's nomination for the Supreme Court. It's coming up on 670 KBOI.
This is Idaho Talks Live, today at 3. Listen to Nate on 670 KBOI.
9:49 now at 670 KBOI. David Allen, Chris Walton here with you.
Got some instant messages. Gary of Emmett says, and they're on several topics that we've been talking about today. Gary of Emmett says, dear Chris and Paul.
Hey!
And actually, you're David, but he probably knows that now. Although most teams start today, Sunday was opening day for 6 teams, and already history was made. Never has a pitcher hit 2 long balls in the opening day game. This is going to be an entertaining season indeed. Hooray for the national pastime. Give me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks.
Like I said earlier, Madison Bumgarner now leads the National League in home runs with 2.
Exactly.
And the A's are not yet eliminated.
Yeah, let's see here. That's an advertisement.
We play the Angels, by the way. Who do you guys play? Do you know?
Washington?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I haven't checked yet. I'm thinking probably Miami or the Mets or Atlanta. It is Miami? Okay.
Atlanta's playing the Mets.
Okay.
But so you guys play Miami.
Yeah.
The A's are playing the Angels.
Let's see here. Patrick of Caldwell says, morning, earlier you had a story about an iPhone charge electrocuting some guy.
Mm-hmm.
The way the story was presented, it gives the impression that he was electrocuted by the charger. In today's world of cell phone charging problems, please clarify the story. It had nothing to do with the charger. He would have been electrocuted no matter what was plugged into the extension cord. So the problem was the extension cord, not the iPhone charger.
And also his chain got caught on it.
Right.
So the fact that he was a Guido also fed into that.
Let's see
here. Who wears a chain when they go to sleep?
Good point. Mark of Boise says, you guys seem to be oblivious to pornography.
Whoa.
I don't feel like that's such a bad thing, but the internet is full of this stuff. No one knows what's real, what's staged, who is old enough, and who is not. There is not much regulation to put a stop to it. In some countries, it's not illegal at all or even less enforced. It does not surprise me at all. No one called the authorities. They are the sickos that are watching the filth. They would be the last ones to put a stop to it. And that's about the story where these guys raped a teenage girl and did it on Facebook, and nobody called the police, even though a lot of people saw it.
By the way, I'm not oblivious to pornography. I know the internet is full of it. That was a sexual assault.
Oh, yeah.
And one of those 40 people should have said...
But he's saying there's dark pornography and stuff.
I understand that. But not all 40 of those people...
That would not titillate the average person. I
would be surprised if all 40 of those people were logging in to the dark web to see a sexual assault rape pornography video.
Possibility, except it was Facebook, so it was a little easier. The disgruntled vet says if you... Okay, and this talks about the guy who came home, found somebody in his shower, mm-hmm, and then went and got a gun and came back and shot the guy. The disgruntled vet says, if you leave the house, you are now safe. You cannot go back into the house and engage, even with a strong castle doctrine. And
that's what I was thinking.
And castle
is
as you defend your castle.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, is I think that's where the guy erred. If he had had a gun with him when he first went in, he could have shot the guy.
He said, just like you can't chase them out and shoot them in the yard.
Shoot.
Yeah, because, apparently... when they do that. Curtis of Boise said it was probably his lover. In other words, they said there's something we don't know about the story.
Yeah.
That the police are. And the disgruntled vet wrote back to say, your house is not a life and cannot be in danger. If someone was left inside, he would have been justified. Yeah. And I'm thinking if the guy came home and saw somebody taking a shower and his wife and kids were in the house, that would be a different situation.
That's a different story entirely. But I thought for sure it was because he had left the house to get his gun is what's going to end up doing him in. Because technically at that point he was safe, even though the creepo was still in his house. He was safe because he was outside. He could have called police and said, I just left a dude who's in my shower. I have no idea who it is.
He's armed and fragrant.
Yeah.
Dave of Boise says, what do you guys think a cop would do if they came home and there was a stranger naked in his or her shower? 9 out of 10 would shoot the intruder, would be my guess. See, I'm thinking most of them would put him under arrest because a policeman knows how to do that.
Well, and here's the second
thing.
Whereas
the average guy probably doesn't.
But here's the thing that we just talked about. If the cop came home, he's already got his gun with him. So if he shoots him, it's probably going to be okay. Whereas this guy left, went to his other house, who knows how far away it is, came back with his gun and then shot him. Whereas the cop always has his gun with him.
Right. Good.
So it's a little bit different beast or a taser
her.
Or her. That's true. Or a taser.
Okay. And he says it's just a guess. You don't know what a deranged person who would do something like that is capable of doing. And you sure don't have to wait to find out. That's the cop's way of looking at it. So why can't the citizens have the same rights a cop would have? Well, because they don't have a badge.
Yeah, because they're not cops.
Yeah, they're not employed in law enforcement.
Really? All I got on that.
And Patrick of Caldwell says, I agree the rape of that girl was appalling, but if you called the cops, how would you know when or where or who? What address would you give them? It's Facebook, where anything and everything can be and is made up. You condemn the 40 people for not calling, but they wouldn't have any information to give the cops either. You could give them the guy's Facebook name.
Yeah, I was going to say, you could say...
Because if it's on Facebook, it's not, you know...
And they could be waiting at his house when he comes home.
Tell the police, hey, this is what's going on. I don't know if it's real or not, but maybe you should look into it. Here's where you can find it on Facebook.
Yeah.
And good luck to you.
You got to do something. I get what he's trying to say, but you got to do something. Can't just let somebody get sexually assaulted, for goodness sakes. All right. Thanks, Chris, for a good show. Appreciate it. Todd with 1D.
Thank you.
Good job. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Paul J. will be back tomorrow and the rest of the week.
Coming up, national news, local news, and then Rush Limbaugh, followed by Michael Savage, then Nate Shellman at 3 o'clock this afternoon right here on 670 KBOI.